You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
This is how we do it. Well, if you've ever heard of that song before, we are actually going to talk, not about the song, but about that theme for the next couple of weeks in our new series called This Is How We Do It, where we're going to talk a little bit about who we are as a church and what we're trying to do as a church in terms of like what is the culture that we're trying to build in our church family. Those things are important. You guys know that when you go to somebody's house, every house has its own unique house rules. In my house, if we played Monopoly, you got $500 if you landed on free parking. That was the house rule. And if your dice went off of the board, you had to pay $50, right? We had some very specific house rules. Some people didn't like them. They were surprised by them when they found out about those special house rules for Monopoly. But everybody's kind of got them, right? And you discover them sometimes as you get to know the family. In my house, one of our house rules, the way that we do it is there's no screaming at each other in our house. We have four kids. And when they were growing up, we didn't allow that. You know, if you could be mad at each other, you could have an argument, you could discuss things heatedly, but you could not scream at one another. You couldn't call each other names. Another one of our rules was you couldn't slam the door. And so if you went to your room, if you slammed the door, there was going to be trouble. And so they learned very quickly that that was not acceptable. So if they went to the room and just slammed it and just closed the door a little too strongly, every once in a while they'd like reopen and say, I didn't mean to. It was an accident. Because that was our house rule. In every house, there's a culture. And at Koinonia Church, we're a house of God. We're building a culture here. And it's so very important for us to understand, for you to understand, that what are the rules of the family so that we can actually be a part of building the culture. In this house, we're going to have a culture of expectation that God is alive, that he's moving, that he moves mountains, that he opens doors, that he does impossible things. That's the culture we're building. In this house, we're going to have a culture of second chances, right? That people, even if they've messed up, they're welcome to come in. We're going to have a culture of welcome, that everybody that comes in the door, you are welcome to come in because we want you to have an encounter with Jesus Christ, right? In this house, we're going to have a culture of exuberant worship. We actually like to make noise, to celebrate God, to lift up praise to him. That's why we're always saying to you, hey, clap your hands, lift up your voice, go ahead and give a shout this morning. Why? Because we're going to have a culture of exuberant praise in this kind of house. There's a house that we're building together. There's a culture that we're building together. And as people come in, we want them to encounter a different kind of culture, a God culture, a kingdom culture. We want to actually look a little bit different than the world. We want this to be a place that looks actually so different that people go, I want what they have. This place feels good. We want people who come in who never have had an encounter with God, don't know how they feel about him, haven't heard about Jesus or are not so sure about Jesus, but when they come in here, they go, man, it's good in here. I don't know what's going on, but I just know that I like being in this place. That's the kind of house I want to have, right? And that's the kind of house we're building in this place. And have you noticed that when it comes to the culture in a house, after a while, it becomes self-reinforcing, right? So mom and dad, after a while, when they're sort of setting the rules or expectations, after a period of time, the kids, they're the ones that are reinforcing it, right? So at my house, if somebody slammed the door, their brother or sister went, ooh, you're in trouble. Look out. Because after a while, we actually become owners of the culture that we're having in this place. So in this series, This Is How We Do It, I'm just going to talk about over the next couple of weeks some of the things that I think are important for us to have in this house as a part of our culture. And it's not really about rules. It really just is about kind of expectations, something that we're trying to set together so that people understand the quality of our relationship and what's important to us. And I could do this series probably every year and talk about something different in every year and every weekend. So the order that I'm going over these things is not necessarily important. I'm not talking about only these things are important. I'm just talking about some things I think that are important right now in this season for us to remember because we do want, in fact, to do things right. So I'm going to talk to you today about honor and how in Koinonia Church we're going to be a house of honor. So I'm going to encourage you to take notes. this morning. And if you have the Church Center app, and if you don't have the Church Center app, what are you doing? I don't understand. What's the matter with you? Don't try to tell me, you know, I don't know where it's at. I mean, you know, for whatever reason, if you don't have the Church Center app, we want you to find it. We want you to get it. So download that. You go to your app store, download that. If you go to the app, the bottom right-hand corner, there's three dots. That's like the more dots. And if you click there, it'll say sermon outline, and you will find the notes for today, all of the notes, all the verses, the fill in the blanks. And if you like pieces of paper, you are welcome to take notes on pieces of paper as well. They're in the seat backs in front of you. Because I do want to talk to you today about something that I think really is countercultural. When we talk about honor, we're talking about something that I think we have a very limited view of today in the world that we live in. I think we tend to actually live in a culture of dishonor rather than a culture of honor. And we want to, as a people of God, we want to reflect New Testament values. We want to reflect kingdom values. We don't want our church just to look like the rest of society. We want our church to look like the kingdom of God looks. And so we look to the scripture to tell us what our target is, and we adjust ourselves to scripture. We don't try to adjust scripture to fit our culture. We see what scripture says, and we speak to the culture, hey, you're going to have to make some adjustments here. And the reality is that honor is something that in our culture is not highly valued. This is what Romans chapter 13 says, give honor to whom honor is due. There is an expectation that honor is something that we give. And it is something that we give to others, others who deserve honor. My question to begin this morning is, who deserves your honor? Who deserves your honor? I think the way that we answer that question says something about us, and it says something about the way that we view God in others. And the reality is that I think sometimes we tend to think that not very many people deserve our honor, but I think when we look at the scripture, what we'll find is there are many, many more people that deserve our honor than we realize. Let me start with a couple of pictures here. This is the way oftentimes that we understand honor today, or at least we express it. One is the Olympic medal ceremony. Here is a picture of three athletes. Of course, they're standing on the podium there, and we are recognizing them because they are the foremost. We consider them, man, they're the top athletes in their sport, and they're worthy of our honor. So we play their national anthem, we give them a medal, we stand them on stands, and we take time to recognize what they have done, and we say they're worthy of honor because of what they have done. And even the number one spot there in the center, right, they're up a little bit higher than everybody else because we're saying this person is either even worthy of a little higher honor. That's literally what honor does, right? It actually lifts someone else up a little bit higher. The second picture, I think, is a picture of two people bowing. We're kind of familiar with this scene in the Japanese culture, where they will greet one another and bow to one another. And typically in that culture, then the one who bows the lowest is the one who is in sort of the least state. The one who's slightly higher is recognized as the one that has the most honor or is being given the most honor. And it's always funny to watch two people try to out-bow one another. You know, because you actually have to check to make sure that the other person is a little higher than you, and so you have to sometimes keep ducking down until you are in the right place. And then the last picture I have for you is this of John McCain when he was lying in state in the Capitol Rotunda in D.C. We will recognize at times leaders who we think are worthy of honor because of what they have done for our nation, given service or whatever it is. And this is when John McCain was there at the Capitol Rotunda. Many, many people come through. And we take that time simply to recognize there's something special about this individual. And we're going to take time to set aside, to stop what we're doing, and actually give honor to them. So we're familiar with what honor is in many ways. And it's just so important for us to have a deeper understanding, I think, of what it means to give honor to other people. Tomorrow, on Memorial Day, we will recognize those as a country, as a nation, we'll recognize those who have given the ultimate sacrifice in service to our country. Those men and women in the armed forces who have died giving their life for our nation. And the law actually says, or I don't know if it's a law or statement from our Congress, that says it recommends that everyone across the nation on Memorial Day will pause at, I think it's 3 p.m. Eastern, for 60 seconds in silence to honor what they have done for us. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to live in honor, to give honor to others, to give honor to whom honor is due. Now, if you look up the definition of honor in the dictionary, this is what it might read. I don't think this is on the screen, but it says this: honor is to regard or treat someone with admiration or respect. It is, secondly, to live up to or fulfill the terms of a commitment, right? So we're going to honor, for example, a check, or we're going to honor our word. We're going to actually fulfill the terms of the commitment. And the third definition is this: to salute with a bow in square dancing. I don't think that's the one. That's not the way that I mean honor today. Just wanted to make sure that you guys were still with me. I'm not sure. Yeah, if the person next to you didn't make any noise for a second, just go ahead and give them an elbow. Say, stay awake. He's not going to be talking for too long today. It's not honorable to if you fall asleep. Okay, so go ahead and tell them that. We honored our graduates today, right? We took some time to recognize that moving from one grade to another, receiving a diploma, graduating is something that is worthy of honor. And we actually pause and we say, man, you guys are awesome. We're saying, keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. It's worthwhile honoring other people. I was just thinking about honor and so many different ways that we can do that. But so often it's not something that we do often enough, and so I just wanted to take a second, and I wanted to honor some people or some groups, and so let me just honor, if you have been married for more than 25 years, would you stand to your feet? If you've been married for more than 25 years, okay? Stay standing. Don't sit down yet. Let's just have fun with this for a second. If you've been married for more than 30 years, stay standing. More than 30 years. More than 30. Yeah, you can give me a hand. More than 35 years. See, we're trying to get some people to sit down, but you know these people are stick-to-it people. They're not giving up on their marriage. More than 40 years. Stay standing if you're married. Then more than 40 years. 45 years. 45 years? 50 years? Anybody? That's pretty good. In the back, I think we have, and then over here. Thank you very much. Marriage, commitment to marriage is an honorable thing. To stay united with that other person who is, boy, once you marry them, you realize they are weird. They are difficult. What is, they think in such weird ways. They got problems I didn't know about. Why didn't anybody tell me about this? You know, I mean, that's all the things that you realize like in the first 60 seconds after you marry that person. And then to stay committed and love and consistent in that marriage for 50 years. Wow. That is an awesome thing. Tom Neal, would you do me a favor? Would you stand up? I just want to brag on you for a second. Tom, you may know Tom Neal. He's a part of our church. He's been in our church for decades, four decades probably. And he and his wife, Cheryl, have been married for how many years, Tom? 56 years. Now, Tom and Cheryl have served so faithfully to the Lord for all of those decades. They have loved on this church and served within this church. And I just want to honor Tom for your faithfulness and commitment. If anybody has started ministries in this church, it has been Tom Neal. He and his wife over the years have just said, we want to be of service to the Lord. And so years ago, they started divorce care, and they've started just every couple of years, they'll just say, okay, Lord, what's the next assignment? And then they'll start another ministry, and they'll serve in that ministry, and then they'll hand it off, and they'll say, now what's the next season? And Tom is a man who has served the Lord faithfully. He's consistent. He comes to the house. He gives in this place of his time, his attention, his energy. If you want to be encouraged, if you want to learn the word of God, he will disciple you. If you want to be a man of God, follow after him. If you want to get advice about your marriage, talk to him and his wife. This man knows what it's like to live a life of service to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I just want to honor him today. Would you please honor him? Isn't it a wonderful thing to honor people? Is there something beautiful about it? Because when you honor someone, basically you're taking the spotlight off of yourself and you begin to shine it on them. And you're actually thinking less of yourself in this moment, which is really kind of important. because we think about ourselves too much. I don't know about you, but I'd rather, if we're going to talk, let's talk about me. All right, let's talk about my life. I mean, why don't you tell me how good I am, right? I mean, my conversation, if I'm not careful, will revolve around me and what I've been doing and all of my, but the reality is that's not really where we're supposed to focus if we're Christ followers. We're actually supposed to turn the light around and begin to love and care and honor those that we are with and lift them up higher so that we actually become less. And that's why honor is so beautiful, is it because it requires us to give. It requires us to release something that oftentimes we want to keep for ourselves and to value someone else higher. And what's so neat about it is that as we shine the light of honor on others, it's actually kind of reflective. It actually makes us look better. It's an upside down type of a thing that sometimes we're worried that if we praise somebody else, see, in our culture, in our world, what happens is we don't like to praise other people many times because we think they're going to get a big head and they're going to be too proud. And so oftentimes what we'll do is we'll try to just kind of give them a little dig just to keep them honest, right? Keep them at the level that they need to be. But that is not actually the example that we have in Scripture of what we're supposed to do. We're actually supposed to look for ways to honor one another. And so I just want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning in my outline about rules of honor. And just give you very quickly five rules of honor that I think the Scripture gives us and talk about here at Koinonia Church how we're going to honor one another. Before I give you number one, let me just read 1 Peter 2:12. It says this, "Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world." This thing of honor is really a big deal. It's not just a nice idea. It actually will affect the way that you are able to worship God. It will affect the way that other people see you in the world and they evaluate how you are in relation to God, and they'll either choose to see God in you because of living an honorable life, according to 1 Peter, or they'll say, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't follow their example because they're not worth following. This thing of honor is a big deal. And so if we understand how to carry it, we'll soon discover as we carry more and more honor that we bring more and more glory to God and other people are actually more and more attracted to us because simply you are carrying this thing of honor. Now, let me just give you number one here. At Koinonia Church, we will honor the Lord. Boy, that's so basic, but that's so important. I think that's always where we want to begin. Our whole focus at this church is going to be giving God honor, is to give praise and glory to him, is to make sure that he has first place in our lives, that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he deserves all our attention, all our time, all our energy, that really our priority must be to put God in first place always. And if we put God in first place, then everything else will fall into place. That's the way that actually the Scripture tells us that if we seek his kingdom first, his righteousness first, he's going to take care of all of the rest of our life. And if we would stop being so concerned with everything else and start being concerned with giving God honor and putting him in first place, we might actually have better lives. We might actually find that things fall right into the area that they are. Now, when we talk about honoring the Lord, we have to talk about, well, what does that mean? And it's just, I mean, it means so many different things. How do you honor God? Well, I could just start to list off a couple of things. You could honor God, first of all, with your speech. Your speech can either be honoring or dishonoring to the Lord. Now, it's very easy, I don't know if you've noticed, but usually when you come into church, it's very easy to have really nice speech. To talk in really nice ways. We all sort of get really good. Hey, how you doing? That's good to see you. God bless you. You know, and then, bless God. And God is so good. Hallelujah. You know, we like to say Christian things, and we get really nice, and nice things flow out of us, and we begin to praise, and we're singing nice things. The words themselves that we're singing are so wonderful. We're reading Scripture. All of those things are honoring to God. But what happens when you leave this place? You know, what happens when you get around a different group of people? It's really easy to be around this group of people and talk like we're talking together, honoring God. But when you get around other people, I don't know about you, but it seems like there's a different kind of speech that's happening. There's a different kind of tone that begins to happen. And pretty soon, before you know it, there's different types of things that are flowing out of you. And you're like, whoa, wait a second, what's going on? And it's not necessarily, I'm not only talking about like bad words. I'm not talking about just swear words that somehow in some groups, you know, it's just you're more tempted to swear. I mean, I think that's true. I don't have any problem not swearing when I'm standing in front of you guys. Right, so there is something about that group that does change the way you speak, and how you actually, those types of words that come out are important. But even more than like just swearing, what I'm talking about is the kind of words that come out. Is it bitter? Is it frustrated? Is it angry? Is it coarse? Are we making jests and jokes that are not appropriate? Is it the kind of talk that if Jesus walked into the room, that he wouldn't be embarrassed or you wouldn't be embarrassed by, right? And that, now that's the level of honoring we're talking about, because when we talk about honoring, we're talking about respecting someone. That means if we respect someone, then we adjust ourselves to them. We actually are putting them in a higher place, and so if I respect them, then I'm concerned with who they are, what they're doing, what they're thinking, because I'm putting them in a higher place than me, and that means my very speech, the way that I'm talking, should be something that should honor God. So our speech needs to honor God. Our what do I have here? Our body needs to honor God. The things that we do with our physical being actually either brings honor or dishonor to the Lord. It says, if you want to write down 1 Corinthians Chapter 6, verse 20, it says, honor God with your body. That the very way that you use your body can either bring honor or dishonor to the Lord. Our worship either brings honor or dishonor to the Lord. Our finances, the way that we do our money, is either honoring or dishonoring to God. And when someone, if they were to look at your bank statement, if they were to look at your ATM card expenditures, they would make some assumptions or conclusions about what was important to you. And I guess the question would be, would they see that God is important to you when they looked at all of your charges on your Apple Pay or on your, you know, on your account? Would they see that God is actually honored there, or do you honor, you know, Target or Walmart or whatever, wherever you spend your money or whatever you spend your money on? Oftentimes, what we'll discover is that we have to realize that our entire life either brings honor or dishonor to the Lord. Worship is really everything. Worship is not just singing on Sunday. Worship is the way that we live our life. It's the way that we talk, the things that we do, the way that we value people, the quality of our relationships. And I'm not just talking about like just being like goody two-shoes about everything. I'm talking about really being conscious that, listen, I'm going to live my life for Jesus. I'm going to ask myself, I would encourage you to ask yourself this question before every decision or before every word: does this bring honor to the Lord? Is what I'm doing actually something that Jesus would bring honor to him, or maybe that it wouldn't? And perhaps I need to adjust some things in my life so that what I'm doing brings honor, that he would smile at it. Number two, at Koinonia Church, we will honor each other. Each other. Somebody say each other. Each other. I just want to make sure you're awake just for a second. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people. I think this is so countercultural that it's probably important for me to have you repeat those three words. Would you do that with me? Honor all people. One more time. Honor all people. Man, when it says all people, I think it means all people. Because Peter's not making any exceptions here. I mean, you can search for it if you want to read in the context of the verses before and afterwards, but he's not like making exceptions. When he says all, he really means all. He says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and then he says something really fascinating. He says, honor the king. In other words, honor the emperor. In other words, honor Caesar, who's one of the most wicked guys that there is in the entire world, a guy that has actually called himself God and demands that the Roman people worship him, and he says, honor the king, honor the emperor, and you just go, wait a second, Peter, can you explain that to me? Because that doesn't make sense, because Caesar is not an honorable person, and there must be something underneath here that we've got to get, this quality of honor that doesn't just have to do with what someone does. It has to do with the image of God that is inside of them. You know that we are God's image bearers. That every person on the planet has the image of God imprinted on them, and they are worthy of honor for that reason and perhaps no other reason. So it's not based on whether you like them or dislike them, whether you like the decisions they made, whether you agree with them, whether they're a sinner or not a sinner. None of that has to do with honor. I'm not saying that some behavior is worthy of more honor. Of course, some behavior is worthy of more honor. But in terms of this directive that Peter gives us to honor all people, there's something that we have to get here that is at the heart of what we're talking about. There is a thing that we're doing when we look at humanity and we're deciding to see people as worthy of honor and respect, that we're deciding to see them as human beings who have the image of God on them, who have the potential for carrying him, his presence into the world, that we actually are encountered. We don't ever meet a mere human being. We don't ever meet just a throwaway person. Every person is valuable and worthy of honor. Why? Worthy of respect? Because God is in them. His mark is on them. Romans 12:10 says this, love each other with genuine affection. Genuine affection, in other words, not fake affection, right? Because sometimes it's easy to do the fake thing. My wife and I sometimes in the house will joke, we'll say, I love you with the love of Jesus. Because I ain't feeling any other kind of love, right? So just so that you know, I love you with the love of Jesus right now, right? So, but genuine affection goes to another level, right? We're not just saying things emptily. We're actually deciding that we're going to love people for real. And then he goes on to say, and take delight in honoring each other. Take delight in honoring each other. Actually, this is something that we should enjoy. We should enjoy the process of trying to out-honor one another. Just like you kind of out-bow one another in the Japanese culture, we're actually looking for excuses and reasons to love and brag on other people, to actually shine the light on their successes, to encourage them, to say, I see God in you. I see potential in you. I see that the Spirit of God wants something inside of you, and he's calling something, and I see it, and I want to honor it, and I want to value it. And we're actually supposed to enjoy doing that. We're actually supposed to look for excuses to do it. When we honor other people, sometimes it's so difficult because we're so focused on ourselves. We're so inwardly focused. We're thinking about how we feel. We're thinking about our successes, our things. But when we decide, I'm actually looking for a reason to brag on somebody else. Now that's countercultural. We live in a culture that's an insult culture. We live in a culture that is so dishonoring towards people. And instead of looking for reasons to honor other people, it's almost like we're looking for reasons to belittle other people and fight them and tell them how bad they are. And that's so not what we're called to be as Christians. We're actually called to slow down and to listen and to see other people and to look at them in the face, to give them time and attention. It begins to bring honor, the very way you treat other people. How about the people that rub you the wrong way? How do you treat them? The people that rub you the wrong way are the very people that are your opportunity to exhibit honor. When we don't have time for people who want to talk to us, that is dishonoring to them. When we won't take time to listen, it's dishonor. When we won't take time to look at them, when we just say, talk to the hand, and would you move on, that is so dishonoring. And what we can do is just begin to shine the light on people. I was in a meeting recently with a leader in the community, and I was like, man, this person, they have done so much. They're in another church, and they had given their life for this other church faithfully for a number of years, and it was a very difficult season. It was a very difficult thing to happen, and I just thought, what? We're in this meeting. Let me just take a few moments just to say how much I honor and respect what this person has done and love. And they didn't expect that. I just felt like the Lord said, honor this person. And I just want you to know that I usually don't hear like the Lord say, Andrew, honor this person. It was just like a sense that I got, like, that might be a good idea, Andrew, maybe. And so I just took a risk, and I said a few words that were honoring words to this individual. And I could see that it did something to them. It was almost like their shoulders just sort of got a little bit straighter, and they sat up a little bit taller. And later on, a week or two later, their friend told me, hey, when you did that, it changed something inside of them. Boy, that's the power that you have of just taking time just to be able to see how God is working in a person and just begin to encourage them. begin to honor them for who they are and lift them up. Am I on number three here? Number three, at Koinonia Church, we will honor marriage. We will honor marriage. And we've done that right this morning, and the scripture actually tells us to do that in Hebrews chapter 13. It says, give honor to marriage. Remain faithful to one another in marriage. So we're not just talking about marriage in a good way, but you actually give honor to your marriage while you stay faithful and when you stay faithful to your spouse. When you decide, I'm not going to flirt with other people, I'm not going to look at other things, I'm not going to go in other places to find satisfaction relationally, emotionally, or physically, I'm going to actually stay on the course and commitment to my spouse, that's actually honoring to your marriage, and God honors you when you honor your marriage. And we live in a culture that devalues marriage, that dishonors marriage. And instead of encouraging people to fight for their marriage, what we usually say to people is, well, you know, you probably, you know, it's over. You don't love them. They don't love you. Find somebody else. Move on. And what we have to do is the scripture actually says, no, fight for your marriage. Honor your marriage. The way that you talk about your spouse when your spouse is not there, is that honoring or is it dishonoring? When you get with your friends and you start to rag on your spouse, do they feel better about your spouse, or do they leave that thing thinking, man, he or she, they are the worst. I can't believe how they put up with that person. But if you're honoring, right, if you're honoring to your spouse and you begin to speak life, I'm not saying that you can never complain to your friends about your spouse. I'm just saying be careful how you do it. There's a way of doing it that's honoring, and there's a way that's dishonoring. Just like there's a way of disagreeing with someone and still being honoring to them. They could be completely wrong about the subject, but you can be totally honoring in your disagreement with them. And that is a value that we have lost, and we must fight for it. Number four, at Koinonia Church, we will honor our silver set. Now, what is our silver set? Well, I fought with this one. I mean, I didn't want to put old people. I didn't want to put blue hairs. Right? So anyway, our silver set is our older people. It's interesting that the scripture in the Old Testament actually tells us in Leviticus chapter 19 that the Lord tells the people of Israel, he says, stand up in the presence of the elderly. I think that's kind of where we get in what we used to have in our culture, right? It was when an older person maybe came on to public transportation or a room and that you would actually get up and give them your seat. It's actually something that was built into our culture that we seem to have forgotten. It's because it was actually God's idea. It wasn't just our idea. It was something that the Lord actually told the people of Israel. It's important for you to recognize that those who are older in your midst, that you show respect for them. Says, show respect for the aged, fear your God, I am the Lord. That actually by respecting those who are older than you, you're actually respecting God. See that whole reflective thing. You begin to shine honor on those who are not you, on those who are older, and suddenly you find that what you're actually doing is you're honoring the Lord because he told you to do it to begin with, and it begins to shine a light that is something that's beautiful. And I just want to tell you that we have to do better at this. We have to do better at loving and respecting and honoring our older generation, our older crowd. This thing that we did a couple of years ago, not we did, but remember 2 or 3 years ago when they came up with OK Boomer? You know, it was like somebody that's in the older generation was talking. Maybe they talked too long. Maybe they did whatever. They went on a rabbit trail, whatever they did. And then the younger person said, OK Boomer, enough with that. We're done with that. Right? And it's kind of a sarcastic thing, but it's really a dismissive thing. And it's basically saying, listen, I'm done listening to you. Your value is no longer something that I'm recognizing, and so I'm dishonoring you, I'm disrespecting you. Now, we do it, you know, our culture is sarcastic, and so we think it's kind of funny, and we can do it in a funny way, but oftentimes we sort of mask dishonor in humor. And what we have to recognize is that this older generation, we need them. And I just want to tell you, if you're over 60, 65 in this house, we need you. We need you. We need your wisdom. We need your insight. We need you to talk to us about the failures that you've had and the successes that you've had. And we're going to give time to you. We're not going to ignore you. We're not just going to push you to the side. We want you in this place. We want your gifts. We want your wisdom. We want you to pour out into us because we are going to value the generations that went before us, and they're going to have a place in this house. I'm not going to shut them down. If you get tired of listening to on the mic every once in a while when they come up and they take too long to give a word, too bad. We're going to show respect to the people that came before us. And then lastly, number five, at Koinonia Church, we will honor our leaders. We will honor our leaders. Now, this is maybe the most countercultural of all the points today, because in our world today, leaders they've got a tough gig, and we're just disappointed with our leaders. Right, whether they're spiritual leaders, whether they're our political leaders, our civil authorities, our employers, whatever, it just seems that everybody's frustrated with everybody. And it's really difficult to give honor to leaders because we have seen that leaders have failed. And we're almost expecting that they're going to fail again. And so instead of honoring them, we immediately just kind of go to dishonor. And the scripture says, no, that's not the way to do it. Actually, what you do is you're supposed to give honor to your authorities. It says give honor to your mom and dad. I respect your honor your father and your mother. And honoring your father and mother is not based on how great of a father and mother they were. It's not based on whether they raised you in the right way or not. And actually, when you finally understand that, you'll understand the secret of honor. That honor is not necessarily given just because someone has done something great, but because you recognize that the Lord has put them into authority. He gave them to you as your parents. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. And so you honor them, even though sometimes you don't feel like it. We're to honor our spiritual authorities is what the scripture says. We're actually it says in 1 Timothy that they're worthy, elders are worthy of double honor, those that have taken the responsibility of teaching God's word and carrying the affairs of the church. And we're supposed to honor our civil authorities. That means our political authorities. Ay, ay, ay. Right? Nobody does this anymore. I think Christians really need to pay attention. We need to pay attention to this. We need to be careful the way that we're talking about those who are in authority over us. Because it's actually, according to the scripture, the Lord put them there. We may not like it. We may not like them. We may see that they're doing things that they shouldn't do. We might disagree with them for all kinds of reasons, politically, in our faith, all types of different reasons. And yet we are supposed to demonstrate honor and respect to them. The way we do that is we choose to speak in a way that would honor the Lord, no matter what. If Jesus were to walk in and we're talking about that person, I don't know, put in your mind that political leader that really drives you crazy. Everybody's got one. The way that you talk about them, if Jesus walked into the room, would you be embarrassed? Would he be embarrassed? And that's just the adjustment. That's just the adjustment. And when we shine honor on others, recognizing that they deserve it because God's stamp is on them, and it will change the way that we talk about them, talk to them, change the way that we value people around us. And I, at this place, in this house, at Koinonia Church, I want us to be a house of honor, that we are looking for reasons to brag on one another. We're looking for reasons to honor one another. We're looking, when the silver set comes in, I want them to be so loved on that they won't be let, they won't, you just bugging them, right? Can I bring you some coffee? Can I do something for you? Would you like, what can I get for you? That they would feel like royalty when they come in this place. That people, when they're here, they would understand, wow, there's something different about this house. Why? Because we carry honor. We carry honor in this place. We're going to honor those who came before us. We're going to honor those people around us. And we're going to see God honored most of all. Would you stand to your feet? And just close your eyes just for a moment. Let me just pray for you on this Memorial Day weekend. Get you out of here to get some of that acai bowl and whatever good food is out there. Just close your eyes just for a moment. And just I want to begin just quickly by just giving the opportunity to do some business with the Lord. Because whenever we hear a teaching, whenever we come into the encounter God's word, he usually is adjusting something inside of us. And if there are some areas perhaps where you have heard him say, yeah, you know what, that's dishonorable, the way you've been talking, the way you've been treating someone, a person, the way you've been thinking about things, it's dishonoring to them. I just want you to just do business. Just say, Lord, would you forgive me? Would you just, I see that. I agree with that. I'm hearing you, Lord. I'm going to be more careful about that. I need your strength to do that differently. I don't want to make the same mistake over and over again. So, Lord, we just repent right now. We just take a moment and say, God, we do want to be an honoring people. And for those areas where we have been too loose with our tongue, where we have allowed our frustration to boil over in a way that was actually sinful, we're just asking God for forgiveness and for covering, and that you would make us the kind of people that would carry honor, kind of people, Lord, that love bragging on those around us, the kind of people that just are full of joy to bring your light, shine your light on others. And let me just end with this. If you, in your life, you know you need to make a readjustment. Maybe there's just something the Holy Spirit's been talking to you. It could be about this subject, or it could be about something else. But you just know, I need to adjust some things in my life in order to be more honoring to God. He's asked me to do some things. He's asked me to fix some things. It could be in a relationship. It could be in your money. It could be in the way that you're doing things at work. It could be in so many different areas in your marriage. But you're just saying, yeah, Lord, I hear your voice, and I'm going to adjust that. Would you just raise your hand? That's just between you and him. You're just saying, yeah, I'm adjusting that. I'm going to adjust that. I'm raising my hand today to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. All these hands raised. Lord, we're just saying yes to you. We're saying yes to your way. We're saying yes that we want you to come first in our life, and we want to adjust ourselves to come into alignment with you. God, would you give us the strength? Lord, I pray for every person here in the house, those that are online, would you give us the strength to walk in a different way, to walk in the way that you've called us to walk in the way that is your way, the truth and the life, allowing your Spirit to constantly speak to us. Would you give us the strength, Lord, to be different? Would you give us the strength by your power, Lord? It's not by our own decisions, by your power, we're able to be different. Would you strengthen your people today, Lord? And I just pray a blessing on every single person here in the name of Jesus, Lord. Every household would receive your presence, your peace, your grace, your goodness, your life. Lord, I pray that the enemy would be pushed back in the name of Jesus, that where healing is needing, healing would come, where financial blessing is needed, Lord, that you'd bring blessing to finances, where relationships need to be healed, where marriages need to be strengthened. In the name of Jesus, the name that's above every other name, Lord, would you bring what is needed for this hour? We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.